This recording of a Cheltenham Township School Board meeting is brought to you in cooperation with the Cheltenham Township GOP on the web at www.cheltenhamgop.org.
Cheltenham Township School Board Facilities Committee Meeting. New School Construction Proposal. February 7th, 2012.
To the Facilities Committee meeting of February 7th, 2012. First item on the agenda is the roll call of Mrs. Mary Russell, Julie Haywood, Tina Valletta, David Rackow, Bo Garvin, Napoleon Nelson, Jim Buck, and myself, Stephanie Grandpress. Second item on the agenda are approval of minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
And comments? Changes? It is approved. Next, you have a package?
I do.
Yeah. Next item on the agenda is third party inspector. I will turn this over to Dr. Bobby. To take us through this, please.
Thank you. We had to hire a third party inspector for Cheltenham construction project, and this third party inspector usually we work with our township, and they would advertise this project. I worked with Mr. Lynch, a township engineer, for a couple months. We put the RFP together, and from his office, the RFP went out to the following engineering. Mechanical, electrical, and our inspector throughout the state. I think we had sent nine out, and we received two back. So the bond consultant, and we received from Pinoni and Keystone. Pinoni, we worked with the Pinoni on two projects, and the Keystone, they are also in this business. That's all they do, inspection. I did Pinoni for $59,960. And he's selling associate for $51,840. I did talk to Mr. Lynch and ask him about Keystone, and he said that both are good, and he really doesn't matter to him who would pay, because the township is really going to oversee their work. And I did call their reference, and they have a very good reference. As a result, the administration recommends Keystone Associate Consulting Engineering Company. The lowest responsible bidder for a total project cost of just $59,840.
Any questions? Can I ask one question? You said you called the reference. Who was their reference?
We had about 30-some different reference. I don't know the name of it. I did call, I think, four of them. They all actually at this time, they're all working for those four different reference.
Anybody in there? Vicinity and
yeah,
the area.
They're all close to here. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Racco?
Oh,
any questions? Any questions from the board? Public?
What exactly is the third party?
Lorna
Rosenberg, the Environmental Advisory Council of Cheltenham. What's exactly the role of the third party inspector?
Third party inspector review the code and make sure the building is built by code, and also that would including the ADA code and all the different codes.
The commission,
the international building code. That's what they follow for the entire building.
But the commissioning has to be above code.
Commissioning is a person who works just on the mechanical and electrical part of the work. Commissioning person is a person that would go there and check the motors and make sure we have no bugs.
Any other questions?
And Dr. Bobby, you said that the township oversees third party?
Directly, they are overseen, but I am also overseen that too. It's both of us. We pay them. The invoices go through the township. The township will approve the payment. It comes to me, and I'll approve the payment and pay the business office. That person is going to be in all the job meetings, which would be 16 months of job meeting. He would be with us. He would be one of the person that we go back and forth during the entire process. So if you have problems, issues, he does inspections, and then he will bring it to the meeting.
Any Any other questions? Okay, we'll move to the next item on the agenda. Well, we go back. So we'll have to vote for the vote on this at the next week's legislative meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Ross.
I do have a question. And we only got two bids as a result. Are those in line with what you expected to get in terms of a bid, the cost?
Yes, this project is a change a little bit. We used to have the state to inspect the ADA. They passed the law that they're not going to inspect it. So as a result, this project was a little bit, the cost of this project was a little bit more than Glenside. And then in Glenside, we had 350 some hours. We had to raise that because we came short. We had to estimate how many hours it's going to take them to do an inspection. So it is pretty much in the same.
Next item on the agenda is the asbestos abatement and oil tank removal for Shelton Elementary.
This is another project that we have to be moving on the fast track on this. True fast track is asbestos abatement, oil tank removal, and also PCB removal. We have PCB in our transformer, in all the light fixtures in the valve system. So we had a 20 bid package was purchased by a contractor. So the list of the contractor that bid the package put the specifications together with the oil tank, PCB, and asbestos together as a one prime contractor. So they probably have to work between each other. And pre-bid meeting was on February 2nd. Bid opening was today. And we received, I think, 11 bidders. And we went from 222,000, I think the highest, to the low of 105. $105,164, and that was for total project. So we really received a very, very, very good number. And so the administrator recommended lowest responsible bidder, asbestos and lead abatement service appropriate to perform asbestos abatement and oil tank should be a removal project for a total cost of $105,164. This project is about $150,000 less than Glenside project. So if the total project that its cost differential is $120,000 less, plus we have $36,000 change order that is not included. So we really got a good number. The problem we have is we have to make sure that he does it right. So that would be control.
The problem
is to make sure that he's going to perform all the work. Yeah, because usually they don't know how to bid, and they bid low, and then they give them. So I'm gonna tomorrow, this bid we open it today. I'm gonna call his reference. We're gonna look at his contract. And so we have to do a lot of work. He does have all the paperwork. He does have all the bid brochures and everything. I did check that already. So I gotta do work on that tomorrow, and I will send that to the Justin O'Donnell, who is our attorney, to also review that. And we would have a lot more tomorrow.
What was the change order you mentioned?
We had a change order of the $36,000 on the last job. You know,
that's
the cost. So the cost of saving is great in this project.
Board questions?
If there's spillage when they're removing the oil tank, who's responsible?
We just keep praying there be no spillage.
If there would be, it would be
completely different. We have to go to EPA. That would be, right now, we have to run two tests in the specification call for two tests for a oil spill. And if that happens, then it is so much you could remove under law, so much layers of the soil. And if we go beyond that, then we go to a different approval. Right now, we are sending all the forms to the EPA to move on to this job. We don't know. This tank's been there for 50-some years, and I don't know if it's going to be in land size. It's the same size of tank, same year. We had a very little amount of leakage. So we did good over there.
But from, I guess just to piggyback on that question, from a financial responsibility, if there's spillage, whose responsibility is
we
that?
We are.
Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. It would be on foreseen condition, and that would be in change order.
I think you answered my question. You're going to be looking for references to see that we do you have a, they have a good history of performance on these. Is there, was there any way, I presume you've also looked at what they intend to do and how, in relative to the statement of work that was in the bid package?
Well, after today, this is what usually we do. We bring the contract in, we have a meeting in mind, we go over 400 pages of the specification, and we make sure that we did understand all the scope of work. After that gets on, we look at all of his submittals, which is all of his documents that we requested to the document, and then we review all of it, which is did that part of it. I know you could do it. Then we're going to look at the reference, and we send it to the Justin Donahue, and to finalize the contract. I did give him the contract and the specification, so we can go and give him the sheet.
Ms. Belletto.
Thank you. I'm pleased to see the number of bid packages that were purchased. It shows that we're reaching out to a larger number of contractors. But my question is, did we do anything different, or is it just because there's a lot of businesses out there that do this and they were on the lookout for
it? No, we did. I reached out to, between me and Penelope, we reached out to the one we knew. And obviously, the industry itself. We have 4 or 5 contracts, but right now we've been working on the last 2 or 3 years, we've been working for us, and they all bid on it. And then Benoni reached out to a lot more, advertised it, you know, in 2 papers, we were very aggressive, with a lot of calls, just going back and forth, and so we got a lot of people.
But did we advertise in, you said
different.
2 papers, but are they different?
No, the paper was
same place we've always
out,
advertised.
The reach out really helped them.
So that's the case. We really want more to apply. We need to make sure that we do the personal contact as well as the notice of paper.
And another thing is that we're going out in good timing. We want to bid during this month. All our bidding for big construction we should do in January is really good when people don't have work. So this is another you guys.
Thank you.
Dr. Bobby, you said that these contractors may subcontract out their work.
Yes.
Do we have any idea who possibly this contractor chosen would subcontract the work out to and what their reputation is internally?
In this state, we don't get substitute lists from them, but he will provide me, but the meeting of the month, he will have to ask to bring the subcontractor in, then I have to review his qualification with subcontractors. Which would be 2 other subcontractors. He would be he's acting as a prime contractor on the job, the fixed bus contract.
Can you also make sure, I guess, when you're working with Mr. O'Donoghue on this, in terms of the subcontracting, that the language is tight in respect to payment? You know, if we pay the contractor, or you know, the contractor ends up not paying the sub, and you know, those issues or how that's going to be handled, so that we don't find ourselves in the middle if there's an issue between the two of them?
Sure.
Questions from the public?
Yes. Jim Custer, Wincoat. Could you go back to the bid list? I'm just wondering, what is the remedy if he cannot meet the contract? I mean, I see that he bid, and there's somebody that's a little bit higher, like the FERC, but most people seem to be in the 130, 140 range. So it just seems like he's given up like $30,000 there. I'm just wondering, what would be the remedy if he could not perform the contract, and what's our protection?
We have the contract. We do have a contract, and we have to inspect his work. I have to make sure that all the asbestos have been, everything is out of the building.
Well,
so all that's going to be part of my work.
And is that us? That's not the third party inspector?
No, the third party inspector has nothing to do with
it. Well, I had nothing to do with that. Okay.
The third party. This is going to be between me and parts of the building.
They have performance bond.
I checked the performance on surety bond. I checked
Like the people at the high school? The people who did the high school renovation? Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm concerned about.
Well, we hope. We
hope. Oh, no, I'm just a little scary.
This item will also be on the agenda next week for the for voting. Next item on the agenda is renovations after mold remediation for the high school in Cheltenham Elementary.
Yes, we did hire the Tenuti contractor. They did bid on that asbestos too. They've been working here for the past a month or so, and they did all the remediation throughout the Cheltenham High School and all remediation at the MOB. And that project is almost done. They have one more area to complete. So after that, we have they did a lot of removal, so we have to go back and put back together. So there's a construction involved. This list is a construction list. It's not the list that we have for mold remediation, which is longer than this. So let's look at the Cheltenham Elementary. We have two lavatories, boys and girls lavatories. They did do some work on some picture that I'll show you there. That's done. The classroom 42 and library, the module, that work is completed. It's completed 100%. And at the high school, we have classroom 274. All that work, there are classrooms. Someone has a little bit of work, someone has a lot of work, so we just have to do that. And say, for example, in the gym area, where the waters came through the window walls, we have to go there and make sure we re-clock the entire system on one side to make sure the water doesn't come through. In the restroom room, we have a roof leak, and it could be a HVAC problem. We have to go there and study it. That's part of the construction part, just make sure that's done. Loading dock got flooded. All of us, we went there and checked it. We don't think it's a roof problem. We think it's a roof drain problem. The drain is first in between the walls. We have to put some kind of sleeves come through the wall. Stage area, I have some picture I'll show you. So this is the scope of work of the this project. And during this time, we find out that we have three other problems. The one I just found out yesterday. So Meyer Elementary Music Room, we have a problem there. And Elkins Park, the 7 classroom that we picked that up about a month ago. So the scope of this work is just this, and this is the two new areas.
Room 42, is that that's in Cheltenham Elementary?
Yes. So this is, we have six laboratories in the modular. And this one, the water came through. We checked that it wasn't because of plumbing. It's just under here, it got all wet. And then mold went through here. You could see that. So we cut all that out. And this is what the contractor did. They removed the entire floor tile. Then they removed the floor deck, which is, this is under the picture before. The joist got mold on it. They treat all this. And this room is gutted out completely. It doesn't have anything. It has no fixtures, no partition, and no wall in the bottom, and also no floor deck. The problem we have to go back. Part of the construction of this would be to why this thing happened. So that's a study that we need to do. In that room 42, we had a problem with the moisture was in the seam area. All this area was, we had the moisture, and the mold goes up in those areas. So what they did, they came and cleaned all that first, then they sealed the entire deck, and then they left it. I want to ask them for a little bit more, so we got this for free, and they came and put more. And then because we have a problem, we lost the two lavatories, we lost the library, we lost the classroom in the mall. We moved two classrooms to the EP, and then we found out we found a more problem over there. Then we had to take those two classrooms back into the modular, and then they didn't have nowhere to go. So we had to go to the cold, the gym, they were all sitting there. We were desperate. We had to move on, and we had some tiles left over, and our custodian, the maintenance and grounds, they all got together, and they tiled this room. It's done, and we're back in business. So we finished the room 100%, so we don't have to do anything there anymore. And the library was the same problem we had. Actually, the library was worse. We had to take this wall, about 2 or 3 feet of it up. We cut it all out, and then the mold was filled up all this area. That mold came through, I think, was because of the window. We fixed the window, and then we did the HR. So this two project is complete. We don't have to do any more construction. This is the high school stage area. We are under emergency in this area because activities start, and they're all pushing. So what happened was in this area, all this is mold built up. There actually is a three layers of the floor deck. So they had a plywood over, then they have a tongue and groove under that plywood in here. You can see one layer and then another layer, and then they have this one, then they have a concrete deck. So we removed that, we removed all, I think about 400 square foot. Then we got to this, and this is what's that, so we took that out. This, the problem, the reason we had this problem was a roof problem, and we fixed the roof problem. Now we have to go back and do this work so they can do their activity. So I think we got the roof problem solved. I just have to do the construction. And again, we have to do this right away. At Elkins Park, I received a call from our maintenance man that this pipe here, these are chase pipe. They are in the classroom. They're actually in the classroom. There is a little chase going on. It's a metal over this. And this pipe is going through the 7 classrooms and the hallway. One of the pipes, again, this is a very old pipe. It was leaking. He went to fix it, and he called me, and then they said there was a mold going on. Immediately, we called one source. They came in and they look at it and they test the air and also they test the visually inspect the area. When they test that out of the 8 areas that we have, 3 areas it was probably so we had the 2 classroom and a hallway mold was filled up. Then he did more investigation and to find out where is this thing coming. This is the mold that built up on the wall. If the one wall is going through all these rooms, that wall we need to go up again. That's what we did to the laboratory. This is a new project. It's not part of that one. To saw cut this and take this mold out and then redo all that. That is the Elkins Park problem we have. And the next problem we have is this is the Myers Elementary School. This wall is the existing wall. It's the 1922 wall. And on January 24th, I received a call from principal office that this area is flooded and they're having a problem with the water pressure. Immediately I went there and we had 6 inches of water in the this is a mechanical and water was shooting up from the ground up. After several hours between me and our maintenance started running around trying to figure out where this water is going, we're just going to figure it out. So we called Aqua and we blame it on them, that's your problem. So they came and they all have different devices and that. And they came and they spent almost 6 hours because a lot of pipes come. So it goes from Montgomery Avenue, the one long pipe goes from the inlet, the manhole, all the way to the that wall. And it gets in. And so they came in, they dug it all out. The pipe is 10 feet deep. They dug it out and they called me and said, Ray, if this pipe is in the street, we're going to fix it. If it's out in your area, we're not covered under your insurance. So we're not going to pass the curb. That was the curb. So they cut it all the way down and then they said, well, it's not in our area. So again, stay there, work with them, and then I said, why don't you guys do a little tunnel, just go a little bit, see if you can go. And then they went there, and then they bought some, go back and forth, and so finally they got into it, and they did it. They did the entire job for us, and they worked 3 days. They worked 3 days to complete this work. This work is all done. Also, this work was reported to Justin O'Donohue and our insurance company, and we have insurance claims on this project. So right now we're okay. So what we need to go back, and we really need to do a little bit of some legal issue, and we also I have to seal this. So we have a little bit of work involved with that. The next area, this is again the Mars Music Room. This is by Glenwood Road. And this is again, these two walls are existing walls. And I did report that last summer to our Paige Large. And it was sometime in August I picked it up. It was a little mold in the corner. And but then after that, they wouldn't even talk to me. They said you have to talk to our attorney, and their attorney wants to talk to our attorney. So those two talked, and eventually we got them to come back to give us why we're having this problem. This is just one of the problems. We have like 8 or 9 problems, maybe more. And they came and they said, well, you know, this wall, you could give us a couple of things to do to make sure we won't have this problem again. And we did that. We did their recommendation for a lot more. We went outside of this wall. I have my maintenance man and went there and then dug all that area out. And they put their SPS modifier, like asphalt material, and then they put over that, they put the felt. So the whole length of it is a well, it's about 20 some feet, and it's down about maybe 20 feet deep. So they did that, but then, so I thought we took care of it, we wouldn't have a problem, but it did came back. So what happened to this wall is the mold is the whole length of the wall and then goes this way, is about 2 feet up, and then it went under the carpet. So immediately, again, what we did, we called it one source. They came in and they did that, and so we have to evacuate this area, which we talked to principal, and the principal moved the classroom to a different area. And we put the negative air pressure there. We sealed this room. And what else we did? And he told us he needs to know where these molds come from, you know, just to get more info. So we have to open the wall. When we open the wall, we find that this wall is wet. And then it got in here. There's a seam here. The water was coming through here. And it was a condensate that would build up over that area. I'm still working on this wall. And what else we can do to actually get this job done. This is on the other side of the wall, and then the L shape that I was telling you, and that's on the other side. So again, this is something we will fix. So for the construction of the Cheltenham High School and the modular, for the construction part of it, because I cannot do work in this estate more than 5,000, our maintenance and operations, the law here, and so I called, trying to get some price curve, and I did call Gilbert Architect and try to get them by hours because it's so much work all over. I said, well, how much? He said, well, why is this work by hours? So we got the price curve based on hour, $169, not to exceed $25,000. This is the price curve that I received. And then I called CMG, their engineering firm, and they do contracting. They didn't were very interested on SWI. They did work for us in the past, and their number was high. Asked also Gilbert Architect, how much is construction cost going to cost me for just on the high school and mine? And then they said that it was $145,000. But we have two problems. One is we ran the time. We have to get this job done because of the activities that we have. So we went there. We tried to be creative. We look around what we have. We found some leftover plywood here and there. We have some tiles. And we think we could finish the two bathrooms at the mod and all the high school work in less than $5,000. So the administrator recommended all the renovation for the Cheltenham Elementary and Modern and Cheltenham High School be performed by in-house employee for a total cost of less than $5,000, which is we were going to do that. And we have to do it. Now, on top of that, we find out about the mold in the Cheltenham Elementary School and lavatories, and about 3 other ones. So we need to go fix these 2 bathrooms because tomorrow we have to run the test. If I run the test in the other bathroom, which is 3 of them, visually we saw mold there. And if you know, then I have to close that, and then the whole we won't have no lavatory. So when we don't have a lavatory, we have to shut the building down. So what I need is tomorrow, I need to go there to install the plywood, to fix it. So hopefully we get it done by Saturday, Sunday, and then go back at it, run the test, and then do the other two. So these are the problems that we have with the mold, and we try to do the best we can.
Mr. Leonard.
Thank you. Okay. The issue with the modular, it's not a roof problem. Is it coming up from the ground?
Yes, the modular, I went and took part of it. It's coming under the module. They have stone.
Wasn't there a slab that we put down, or it's just...
No, there is no slab there. There is just crushed stone.
It's raised.
So if the ground under that is bowed and water sitting there, and then so you have a moisture build up there, then this area cannot breathe. Then they have a skirt around the entire bottom of it, so there's no ventilation goes under that. Try to do that. I think.
But there are vents.
Very small vent. Very, very small vent. For the amount of the moisture that we have 70 some inches of rain. And if the water sits there, so what I need to do is open some of that, get some ventilation under that, which we could easily do, and fix the area. We already. The mold is gone. I mean, on those areas, it's all done. And I think we could take care of it.
So would that be inclusive of the repair that you're...
No,
or
is
that just
that.
The internal?
This is all internal. That's all we're going to do. I'm probably going to go under that, but myself, we evaluate that. I'm going to look at the condition of it. There is another deck. So we have a floor deck, and there's another metal deck under that. So I want to make sure that those two decks are...
Okay, but I understand and appreciate your wanting to do this under the limits, but we often run into a problem of sequential work for a project because then it is viewed as one project even though it's done
we
at different times.
We could bid this job.
So if it goes over the 5,000 because it's separate work done at separate times, but it's still for the same project, my understanding is we can't do it that way if we're going to exceed the $5,000. And I get the fact that we're trying to save money, but
no,
we're
not
trying to
save money. We're not trying to save money. We're trying to have a classroom. If we money, forget about money, part of it is $100,000, whatever it is. If tomorrow I have to, since I saw the motion, our principal saw that, if I go there, I have to test three other bathrooms there, which is already saw the tiles coming up. I can show anybody
at
wants to
modular.
Go. At the modular. Anybody wants to go there, I can show them that. If we run the test there and it comes positive, then we have to close that area. When we close that area, now we have five bathrooms. It's closed. So we have one left.
Do we run any ventilation system to dry out anything that's occurring within the modular?
We do have a, we have a HVAC system. It's constantly bringing pressure.
No. So nothing's drying anything out.
No, nothing was designed for to do that.
So we're going to run into this again.
So we'll run into this again as you repair it.
I have to get rid of the area, the skirt part of it, take some of it out to get some ventilation on it.
But you said that wasn't a part of this particular project.
No, we can't do that. Then we just have to remove some of it. This is just remove plywood from it.
But we can't leave it open and
we
accessible
have to
for anyone who can crawl under it.
We will put some kind of
ladder
material, screen material. But again, you know, I'm just telling you my problem. If you want to bid it, I have a bidders out there that the low bidder is Gilbert. We could get them to go there and write the specification. Probably take them a month to do that. And then we do whatever you... You know, I'm trying to have a classroom, follow the law, and do the best I can. That's all I'm trying
to
say.
But the problem is, and I know this is where we teeter on, you know, we understand the emergent issue, trying to get the classrooms done, trying to get the bathrooms done, because we obviously are in the business of educating students. But at the same time, we do have some legal parameters that are on us from the state that...
I'm under that.
Well, but I want to make sure that we understand that if it's sequential, if it's within the same project...
We are documenting...
On that issue of going over that.
Yeah. We adopted the two projects I was saying at the high school and Cheltenham Mosque. The two bathrooms in those areas at high school, we will be under 5,000. Now, if we go open up something else, and then it's get more and more, we can't do that more.
Don't test this room. Whatever you do. As far as the stage goes, what's your estimated time frame for repairing that, given that the show is coming up in March?
March.
I'm going to get it done this week. They have a lot of practice, a lot going on. I have to get it done tomorrow when I'm over. They have a lot of project. We brought this to you so you know what we're doing. And tomorrow morning, we're scheduled to move on. Other than that, can't finish all this work on time.
And I appreciate that. I also, one more question. Again, going back to the ventilation issue, when we see any areas where we believe there may be water infiltration, do we bring in the fans? And I'm not talking about HVAC system. I've had water issues in my home, and I know the fans, the type of industrial fans that have to go in there to dry out.
We purchased seven negative air pressure fans. These are big fans.
And we bring them in and we put them there and we keep them there as long as it's needed to dry out the area.
Yeah.
And yet, when we open it up, we see mold right away. I'm not following how mold just develops right away. So it had to have been sitting there for a period of time
mold grows very fast. And then one, two is that, if you're talking about Cheltenham Elementary, we didn't know we had that problem.
That's a module.
One of our teachers complained, and we went there, and we tested all the rooms, 32 test rooms, like the whole building. And we didn't test the bathrooms, the other bathrooms. We thought those bathrooms were fine, but we did all the classrooms. I was focusing on the classrooms. And the two bathrooms that we knew was really bad. It was really small. So we just...
So the Myers Elementary School music room issue is not related, it's separate and apart from the mechanical room issue.
Yes.
Even though the mechanical room is right, you have to enter the music room to get into the mechanical room.
They're on two different sides, the two different walls actually. This one becomes this way, one
so
becomes that way.
So the different way, it's not where the double doors are leading into the music room.
Is it like an L, is it like a U, a big long wall, it's come around.
I can tell you what it looked like before it was... That was the dungeon, where the PTO club
and then,
was.
I think the music room was a boiler room.
Yes, it was. That whole area. And then there were closets in the back where the L is.
I just look at it wrong.
Yeah. No, I know what it looked like beforehand, so I knew that area well.
Again, that's 5,000 is not far of this. We have insurance claims for different areas. So that 5,000, I don't know. We have to do a lot of a study, and we're getting our legal people involved with this.
Okay.
So. That's different. And also, the 5,000 is not including Elkins Park either. Because we have to hire the contractor to come and remove the mold. We already looked, we
right, 5,000 is only for Cheltenham High School and the Cheltenham High School and the Cheltenham Elementary modular. Not Myers and not Elkins Park.
They are different projects.
Yeah,
questions. Is beneath the floor of the modules, is that basically that footprint open space?
No.
It's segmented?
Well, I don't understand the question.
If you look in one side, if you punched a hole in one side below the floor on the skirt that goes around, would you be looking all the way through to the other side, or are there walls?
There will be some walls, some areas, and covered.
There's the problem. Right now, it's passive ventilation. There are systems that are not that expensive, because you have cordoned off sections of underneath there. Obviously, the air is trapped. and moisture can build up real easily. And you're right, mold can grow in 48 hours without any problem. There are systems, because I've seen them put in, especially in homes that are on pilings, where there is the humidity is high all year round. And basically what it is vents on one side and one or more exhaust fans on the other side pulls the air.
That's why when I said I have to go there, it's really sad, because the drawing that I have is like a floor plan drawing. I really don't have good mechanical under what's going on there. So that's why we need to go each one of us.
The only thing that's going to make that work is if in those partitions it's opened up so that the air actually
flows. If the wall goes all the way through, like a house that moves through, we will cut through. That's why I don't know. But we would have some hours. Quickly, you're going to remove some of that to get something there. That would be right.
I definitely appreciate the need and desire to get the sections back into working order. And obviously, the laboratories. But given the fact that we've had issues with these two laboratories and the modulars, do we need to be testing the other laboratories to make sure that there's no mold issues there? So
yeah, we do. We have three other ones. We already know that we do have a problem. And if I test it, and it takes
that response,
and I have to respond to that, and I have to close them.
Well, but is that now a health hazard for the students currently, if we do already know that there is an issue?
I didn't test it yet. I saw it, but you know, the test result didn't come through yet.
Yeah, I mean,
you've got to be real careful about how you...
Well, but I'm also concerned about the students in that area.
We went there, we looked at it, and there's a the floor deck is wet, and we're calling the one source tomorrow. I saw it yesterday at 5 o'clock, and we responded.
Okay, so I understand the sequence of events in terms of kind of the domino effect. In fact, you don't get the other laboratories completed and you then find mold in others, but just from a health standard perspective, I know it's a chicken for the egg issue, but I think that should be also a concern, that if any of those areas, other areas, have mold in them, then students should not be allowed to be in those areas. I know you haven't tested for mold.
I didn't test it, so I can't answer your question. For me to answer that, I have to hire a professional. I have to test the air, not the floor. So visually is one thing, and the air is another thing. When we have mold in the air, we have to shut down that air. I will be the first person to shut it down. I won't put anybody in.
So dollars aside to replace
it. Will the air be tested?
I have to call him tomorrow. I will call him tomorrow, and then it will come and if he's open, he will come and run his test, and then we probably get an answer by maybe on Monday.
And I just have a follow-up question in terms of the high school. I know you talked about the stage area, and I know there was a mold issue in terms of the where the post-prom party is and
yes.
The robotics. Is that also
that job? That project wasn't a construction project. That was part of the remediation. That project is all done, 100%, and she's very happy.
So that's all been taken care of.
It's all been taken care of. There was no construction involved.
No.
So just the remediation, and that area was a five different areas, four or five different areas by itself.
Okay.
The rifle range and post-prom robotic. Records and the hallway.
Okay.
So that's all done.
Okay.
So I think we have
on Thursday, 6:00 Thursday.
We're having final inspection on that, and then as soon as they give us the okay, we contact the users.
Okay. Thank you.
Other board questions? Public?
David Cohen, Dolphins Park. I'm a little bit confused. I'm asking for clarification. It appeared to me on the last slide that the cost is over up to $100,000 plus for architects and I believe $145,000 to do work that's now being proposed to be done for $5,000. And that discrepancy is huge. I realize that there are certainly efficiencies that can be accomplished by doing it in-house. I also realize the extenuating circumstances. I'm just trying to get clarification, make sure that my belief is correct, and if so, if there can be further clarification as to how that huge discrepancy in terms of dollar amounts is being handled, and what the justification for that huge amount, which is above 90%, how that is being, can that be addressed?
The total project is about $170,000, $125,000 and $145,000, and we have, that's what they estimated, and that's their estimate, and that's the belief of professional people. We have, we're going to work during our own hours, you know, we're not going to go overtime. Obviously, our rate is like one-third of their rates, and we have a lot of tiles left over that glues and tiles that we could do this work, and we don't have to pay the architect $25,000 to design. We're doing all that in-house. That's why with the leftover that we have, we're going to put the top down. And we documenting everything we do. We make sure exactly we stay on the kind of cost.
So you're confident that we can do...
Absolutely. I wouldn't even bring in any documents.
Speak a little louder.
So it's largely just two bathrooms and maybe some classrooms in there, so you know, the fixtures and materials themselves don't necessarily have to cost enough. Understandably, I mean, if I'm thinking of $5,000, if you're not paying, you know, it's a lot of money for plumbers and electricians and general contractors to come and lay materials, and all you're paying for, how much does the vanity cost? There's no real vanity.
So we kept the vanity.
Same.
We cleaned them all.
We kept all the materials.
Yeah, we kept all the materials.
Doesn't really have to cost anything.
All the partitioning.
Our staff doing that, and that pulls them from other jobs. How's that going to be affecting, you know, other work that's outstanding?
Well, we have right now we're our ground crew. They don't have the kind of the low in their work. They're doing a lot of cleaning up, and we're lucky we didn't have any stuff.
Yeah.
So we're pulling six of those guys out, and we put them on this project. They're going to do all the carriers and cleanings and picking up. All that work's going to be by them and the custodian. And the maintenance guy is going to go there. They're going to just carry the maintenance car or the two of them and work together to get it done. They're all going to work together. So we do have people and we can pull this out.
Any other questions?
Jim Custer, Winkler. And the older board members can explain this to the newer board members. But only Gary Bixby could build a lake on top of a hill with a 65-degree slope. And you guys gave him like $180,000 in stone. And part two is, I remember the Myers pipe, too, from the construction project. But that's just unbelievable. But I admire Ray for his diligence in trying to fix all this stuff.
Thank you. Next agenda item, share facilities at the high school.
The president of the Arcadia contacted us, contacted our superintendent office, and they were thinking to meet with us and some ideas concerning sharing some facilities. So we went there, me and Mr. Malowski and Dr. Davis, we went there and we met with their team, which was their architect and also the president and facilities. So they were very interested on the field, the lower field of the high school. They're very, very interested on it. So then we went there and I did talk to Scott Lair, our athletic director, and to start seeing what we have there so he can educate me. We have in that area, we have two softball fields, one hockey field, one football field, one practice, two baseball and one utility field. That's the scope of work, that's the amount of the areas that they were interested on. But they also talked a little bit about the track, and they want to build this
really good, like a stadium type. They weren't interested on just the small stuff. They were on the college level. Having said that, we went back and I talked to our athletic director. They went with my assistant, Steve Chandler. They went and talked to their athletic director. So to look at how much activity we have and how much activity they have, is it this thing is doable? So after that, if you look at that, we have about 52 games and 250 practice, just in that area. And we line and do all that work. And then after that, they came back and they both had athletic directors. They said, we could do this. Well, that was the good news, but they had to work on the scheduling of all that, which is going to be very difficult for those two folks. So I did talk to Scott. I said, well, what we can do? So we came out with the three phases to improve our athletic field. Obviously, our teams don't know anything about this. So the first phase is to build one JV baseball and another baseball field would be two. We'd have a new dugout, fence, and scoreboard, bleachers. Bathroom facility, their president wasn't too happy with our bathroom facility. We want to have a very good bathroom facility. So we said, okay, we want to make sure we build the bathroom facility, you got to pay for it. And then we have, they asked for the soccer field. They want two soccer fields in that area. And then also, I told them, you have all this, we have all this activity, and we need to have a light, a lighting system. They said, oh yeah, that's a very good idea. There's a sidewalk. We have to have a sidewalk that goes from one end to another end, and all has to be all handicap accessible sidewalk, so they don't know that, but they wouldn't know that. and then all that sidewalk has to be lighting, so we need to have that, and the ticket booth. We need to sell ticket, so we don't have a ticket booth, so we would have some again system and all that stuff. So that would be a first phase of the improvement for 2012 to that. They want to do this right away. They're very anxious that they all right to this. And we want to do this. We want to go there and we're going to get it done. Okay. So the year two, we were looking at resurfacing our track. At the football field, they were very interested on that, and turf the football stadium and a new school board. This list came from Scott there. And then the third year, we were going to look at the practice football, renovate that area completely, look at the turf, and also look at the drainage system, fence system, new bleachers for football field area, and renovate the hockey and girls. We did half of that area about 3 or 4 years ago, and now we need to do the other half. So this is our scope of work, this is what we think, and we need to take it back to them and see what we can. They called me today, and they're presenting, they want to meet, and they're sending their architect so we can connect, so we can see what kind of project we're talking about. So this is the field that they are interested on. This is our existing two fields. These are two baseball. They want to have the one soccer here, but it's a big elevation change right in here. It's dipping down. They have to come up with some kind of the walls or something here. Then they want to have a new baseball would be here and this area. And then again, the second soccer will go through here. It goes to some of the green. And then all this, our sidewalk, all this is not actually, it's all stone here. And all this is to be done, and the lighting. So they're taking over the entire this area with us. We're going to work with each other, and they're going to have their schedule. We're going to have our schedule. We think it's doable, but just have to try to do this area. So the administration recommend the approval of the concept to share the Cheltenham High School athletic field with Arcadia University.
What's that mean?
Just the idea.
We don't have to vote on that, though. Do we just have a conversation?
We're not discussing it out of hand. We're not discussing it out of hand, basically, that we're willing to talk about. It doesn't commit us there.
Well, but why? Because there's no reason. I mean, there's nothing that we need to approve for that conversation to take place. I mean, why do we need to approve anything for a conversation?
Because I know that we're not interested. If we weren't interested,
we're interested in anything they'd like to pay for.
And who's not? Who's not interested?
I'm very fortunate that you're talking to this administration as opposed to the last Arcadia administration that was not interested in having us look at the towers, let alone share anything with us. So it's a whole different attitude over there, obviously.
And again, you know, this is between $5 to $7 million construction project. This is a big construction. They don't know. Maybe we have to talk to them, so maybe we can do it in a 3-year, 5-year, 10-year. We have to go talk.
Something that will eventually have to be addressed because you know better than anybody how much, really talking about a lot of huge investment too, because you're probably going to have to put in artificial fields so you can actually have that much activity on them. And I mean, that's just talk about drainage problems. They'll have all they can handle. So one of the things that's going to come up, and I don't know whether it's addressed, is a community usage of the tracks and fields like that, because right now there is time that they can use it, and obviously that's
use it all the time,
and that's going to be cut way back because now two schools are going to be, you know, in this case 1 + 1 is going to equal about 7, because there are going to be a lot of demands for practices and, you know, that kind of thing. So I think
there's a lot of detail work we have to do between us, our athletic director, and theirs, and all the schedule.
When the question comes up, and Arcadia would have to be a major player in this, of the fact that the fields would have to be closed and off limits a lot more than they are now, the question is going to be how do you enforce that, because that's a big question now. We can't have our people, you know, we're not going to have people with dogs running around the perimeter fences tracking people down, so they may have to kick in for some security people.
The security is a big issue.
Yeah.
And the fencing. We have a fencing in all areas. Fencing, gating.
I think it's a great idea because we could really use an upgrade in one of those facilities, and if the timing could be worked out, it would really give us a first-class athletic capability without breaking the bank.
Yeah, I agree. I think also make sure that you guys consider advertising opportunities with fencing and exterior walls of baseball fields and yada yada yada. I mean, I think it's outstanding. We're fortunate that we've got the land that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Our fields are right next to there.
I think it's a very creative possibility. This is very exciting. A couple of concerns are the neighbors around that area might not be so happy to have the lighting.
1600 Church Road.
Has to go to the zoning.
Approval
process. Designed.
Another concern is just the artificial turf, that whether that's safe and for athletes. I know you couldn't do this without artificial turf. There's just no way that you can maintain those fields. They're in bad shape as it is. I think that's another question. What's the split in terms of the construction cost and the maintenance cost going forward?
Construction cost, I thought was zero. And that's where we pretty much started with zero.
So we pay zero, they pay everything.
Thank you.
They
pay everything.
Thank you.
They need our fields.
They need the land.
They can, you know,
they have an incentive
to use our fields.
They don't have a baseball field.
Yeah, it's much cheaper for them to do this than to buy land.
Well, a couple things came up. They currently use, I think, fields that Enon has. They also looked at some other places, and it's about proximity. And so we're right here. They know that it would help their university as they're looking to grow some of their programs. So they want our field and our field
you know, to use them because we don't have the money to upgrade them as we would like to. So they're really looking at this as we were when we met, as a win-win, as long as we can work out all the scheduling, which we believe we can. So again, it's still a concept. We don't know. I mean, as we go a little bit further, we may come back to the board and say, these are some issues, some concerns that we have, and we would certainly bring that back to you.
Yeah, it's a very exciting opportunity. You definitely need to explore it seriously. I'm not suggesting that we not explore it. But one of my concerns would be the safety of the field and the cost.
And we would, you know, be looking at some of the specifics as we move down this road.
And I agree. I mean, I think it's a really great, creative way to explore having somebody else pay for getting really what's paying for the bumps we're using, our fields actually enhancing them. My only question is, as we're in the concept phase, to make sure that, you know, they're paying for all of this, we want to still make sure that our schedules can be maintained for the students.
Well, we would write the contract, obviously, all of that stuff. Just right now, we're just working the concept, and then we move. The first meeting would be all the design issues. It's the idea to this contract. If they ask for it, they're going to be asking, you know, first of all, we want to include the entire of it. So,
and you might as well put it But that's the only thing that
our contract involved, the operational involved, the scheduling involved. All that has to be part of the contract, which is we usually have. We write it, we give it to our students, we deal.
Mr.
Foote?
I'm opposed to it. Not because I don't love it, but it doesn't go far enough. I believe we've got to think a lot bigger in terms of the relationship that we can establish with Arcadia, educationally, community relationship-wise. There's a lot more that this can become. And I, before I would want to approach the concept, now again, I like the idea of sharing property, sharing resources and things. We can go further than this. I firmly believe that we can share opportunities for facility use, opportunities for our community to take advantage of the things that Arcadia has there, for opportunities for our students to take advantage of features of Arcadia that will benefit our students in educational opportunities and other things, the community meeting spaces, access to libraries, access to courses by our community or by our students more aggressively. There's a lot more that we can do to partner up with a university here that I think we need to be considering and putting on the table in terms of how collaboratively we're going to work with Arcadia. I'm not opposed to
considering. So you're saying then this would be contingent upon...
I wouldn't just want to stop here. We need to go much further than this concept outlines.
Well, this is like a first step sort of.
But I don't see all of
the
things.
Well,
we can do courses and everything with them now.
Maybe have access to courses.
Well, we don't control the community, but...
That's my point.
But we can't do
that. We
have an opportunity to work with our township.
They are working with Arcadia.
I'm not aware that the community can go and elect courses or use the library or use the community meeting spaces or...
Students can, who actually are taking courses through dual enrollment, are allowed to use all of the facilities, all the meeting spaces.
Okay, that's just entered in dual enrollment, but what can we think beyond just
that? But that's our purview as a school district.
Okay, great.
And we've been growing our relationship with Arcadia over the years, and every year we add a little more, add a little more in terms of their teachers working with us, in terms of our after-school program. And when we met with the president, certainly this was one piece that we met about, but we certainly were talking about how we can continue to grow our relationship. You know, we use their space in the summer for meetings. They're very, very open to growing the relationship, but it certainly isn't starting with this. We started that years ago.
All good. Let's lay it out. Let's show what we have in place and go area by area, year by year, how we're going to phase in and expand the relationship with Arcadia as we go forward. I think we need to show a full picture of what our relationship with Arcadia looks like, not only for the district, but also for the township, and how the whole thing lays out. What can we do? There's an awful lot that this can go to, and I'm supportive of sharing property, but let's use this as an opportunity to look at the full breadth of how we can share a very deep relationship with a very important member of our community.
Can I just share with you, just in terms of, I know the township is actively working with Arcadia to kind of build and enhance that relationship. Just preliminary discussions, a lot of things you're talking about, really kind of making Cheltenham more of a college town. So what does that look like? Lots of things. Where is it right now? I think in preliminary stages of discussion. But I do think it's a good idea to lay all those things out, because I think it is, those discussions are happening, to make this more broad than just the fields. These are the fields are building a stadium.
And that's why I think we need to expand. I think we need to lay it all out for everybody so we all know what's going on. Shouldn't be private conversations about wondering what's going on. We should lay it all out so we're all on the same page about what's going on here. That's all. I said what I said for effect because I do support what we're trying to do here. I just believe we need to go further and we need to lay a long-term 25-year plan for how we're going to work together with Arcadia and for that matter, other educational institutions within the community. It ought to be on the liaison agenda. And I definitely urge, now that we've gone out here at this meeting, which is, to my knowledge, the first time this has been discussed with the board, it's now time to go forward with the liaison and present our concept as a concept and say, listen, how can we work together to expand the relationship? Let's build something up here and keep going and see what Arcadia wants to do. It's a negotiation like everything, but it's also a very good relationship. I've seen no lack of desire to want to build. So I think it's in everyone's interest to want to see where this is going to go. I'm not saying to stop talking about field integration. I'm just saying let's also expand that relationship and try to document where we would like to see year over year the expansion of educational and community interface.
Mr.
Rackow.
I thought you were going to go for the Dome Stadium. I understand what you're saying, Mr. Butt. I would just be really careful at this stage about making it seem like we're in it for a services grab and we're just going to just keep, you know, really hammering on it. What Dr. Davis said is really true. We have had years and years of some very collaborative stuff being done in terms of coursework for kids and expanding what we're doing with them and having them student teachers in our schools and everything. I think simply putting something like this into place without a whole lot of strings attached, it's a huge investment for them. There's a mutual benefit.
It's not
a matter of what it costs them. It's a huge investment for them. And it can be a huge answer for us because we have a lot of fields that need to be maintained. We know what's been happening to our fields and what hasn't been happening. We talk about it all the time. We spend a ton of money trying to fix some very... I wouldn't at this stage really push that. It's fine to look at programs long term and kind of as we get this rolling and as they see that it's working for them and they become by its existence more dependent on us. I think that's a great time then to sit down and start talking about if this is working out so successfully. There are a couple other things we'd like to talk about and push it.
Once again, we still don't have a strategic plan for our relationship with Arcadia.
Yeah, you do.
No, we do not.
Well, wait.
You don't have any kind of a plan. This
but
is part of one.
I think this discussion is just kind of started.
Point is that we need to build a strategic plan with Arcadia.
I'm not disagreeing that there are many opportunities that we could enhance our relationship with a first-class higher education facility that happens to be across the street from us. I think it's a great idea. In this particular instance, I wouldn't want to appear like we're putting a gun to their head and saying, how badly do you want these fields? Because we've got a list of other things.
I'm not suggesting that.
Okay, I wouldn't want to kind of appear...
What I was trying to say.
The one thing that I think was actually I brought up when we first started talking about fields with the previous administration of Arcadia was that's a brutal intersection out there. And if they're going to spend $6-8 million, because they come, you can fabricate them, and you can build something and literally fly it into place and have a safe way for kids to go back and forth across. And might go into what Jim was talking about. Once you have that physical link, sometimes things seem to be a little bit easier and more obvious. And then we can sell favors on the bridge.
How many papers do they want?
We'll give them a special deal.
Exactly.
Again, I agree with everything. I think that this should also not only for liaison, but be one of those things that we think about really having goals for with the strategic plan coming up in, I guess, not 2.5 years. This should be one of those items that really focused on and highlighted as part of the strategic plan.
And you have
community
partnerships now.
Yeah, no, and, but
so
let's...
It can still be
built in. Don't build in, pull it out, say...
I agree, but we could do that with Penn State also. We could do it with Manor. You know,
there are
a lot of really good institutions.
They said
we are.
They
we are working, the midpoint review caused us to look at what the strategic plan is all about, and just like Dr. Davis said, the community partnerships is a portion that we have reconnected to.
Right.
Back to the issue, the topic that we're talking about. The other thing I think it's a great concept, but I also know that, you know, there will be probably more students in the neighborhood just using the fields and the facilities. And, you know, there might be more after-hours use. So I think we should all be cognizant of the neighbors in that area as well. I'm one of the neighbors in the area in terms of the additional use and additional number of students in the neighborhood. And the after-hours use for the field.
Any questions from the public?
David Cole, Elvis Park. I like the concept in general, and I think it's been alluded to, but as a planner, I have to say that I would encourage that in some of a formal process, initially informal, then more formal, that this be brought to the township, in addition to the liaison committee, really because it does involve and require, in my mind, a site plan and also an operations plan, and also other aspects in terms of the plan. So on the one hand, it's great to get facilities modified and improved at little or no cost to the school district, but I'm asking that the school board not be blinded by the fact that there will be a number of issues, both operationally and procedurally and other aspects of the school district, but also for the broader community. And that specifically about the site plan, even though it will be phased in over years, to do a comprehensive site plan for the elements and the fields and the property parts that will be utilized as part of this renovation, and look at all the aspects in terms of the buildings, in terms of the environmental aspects, in terms of the operation, security, and the cost that will be imposed to the school district as the landlord, effectively. And to look at it somewhat comprehensively, and not get overly excited by the prospect of renovations and free money, but look at some of the real additional costs and other aspects with the project. Thank you.
Any other questions? So, at the meeting that we're going to approve the concept to...
They asked us to bring it to the board to just see if we had support in order to move forward with the concept.
The next item on the agenda, Cedarbrook Middle School Construction Project. Dr. Bobber.
Yes, we had a lot of mold issue in that building. We hired a contractor, and we don't have a local problem in that building. Everything being done 100%. The building is clean. It's been tested. And after that, we went and hired a Gilbert architect to design the HVAC system, and we could go over the scope of work. And they did complete their work. That was just to renovate this building because we had all those problems, water infiltration, and mold issues. So they did complete the design. I just brought that, and this is all done. And this is the scope of this work. We're gonna do the entire roof. 50% of the roof deck is a gypsum deck board. We're gonna remove the deck and remove the TPO material. Partial is a 40% TPO material. Is a hard asphalt. We're going to remove all that and put a brand new roof in this building. On the exterior wall, we're going to replace some of this loose brick and do some
pointing and add whip holes because some of the whip holes was covered in the last construction project, and we have to go back and redo it. Windows, we're going to just replace the window in the front of the building, not any other areas. I just want everybody to understand, just the front of the building. And the HVAC system, we're going to do 100%. 100%, every single room would have heating and cooling, and we install a new humidity control in this area so we won't have humidity problem ever again. And electrical, we would install all new switchboard and electrical panels, fire alarms, and we would replace all the light fixtures. So when we do replace all the light fixtures, obviously we have to drop the ceiling, we have to build a new ceiling for all the classrooms and all the halls. And then we're going to install an emergency generator also. That would be under electrical scope of work. The plumbing we're going to replace, and again, on the HVAC, we're going to replace all the hot, the all new piping system for our HVAC system. So on the plumbing, we're going to replace the domestic hot water, cold water piping, wastewater, and rainwater. That's going to be part of the scope of this. Fire protection, because we are renovating more than 40% of this building. It's going to be more than 40% with this brand new. We think it would be close to 50 or a little bit more than 50. We're going to install this sprinkler system. By code, we have to do that because it's over 40% renovation. We're going to add two lavatories in the second floor, and then we would have four ADA lavatories in this building. We're not going to install an elevator. We're going to use the old one. And at the front of the building, we're going to renovate the entire front of the building. The existing ADA ramp behind is too sharp, and so we have to remove all that and just fix it all up. That's the entire scope of work of this project. It's all done. We talked to our principal. We needed 20 classrooms at a time so we can get this job done in 1 year. Obviously, she couldn't give us 20 classrooms. She gave us 5 classrooms. So we went back and asked her that we can do our work. And so we came up with the idea of adding a module or trailers. And then that cost about $2 million. We kind of didn't do that. And we went back again. Every time we did that, we had to do a lot of design work. We have to change a lot of stuff, and then came back and said, well, we could do this work. We could do it at night on Saturday, Sundays, and also during the summer. And we could do this work instead of 1 year, we have to do it in 2 years. And that's the best we can do with that amount of work. And this building is about close to 130-some thousand square foot. So, for us to move on, to go into the next phase now, we have to hire the construction manager, because we do need a construction manager for this project. We go to the same commissioning agent. We have to hire a third-party inspector, consultant for asbestos, and advertise this. We would like to have, we will bring this job back to you in March, so get the permission to advertise. We would like to receive the bid by May 12th, environmental bid by May 12th. Those are will be two projects that will go together. Asbestos construction started July 1st, I'm talking about this year, and completed would be July, asbestos that is completed. It should be in August 30th. So we have about a month to finish the asbestos. So we divide this project in three different phases. The phase one would be all the environmental. So each the classroom, we have a teacher closet area that we're going to remove that under that walls or asbestos, we're going to remove that, build a new area, and then we could put our heating and cooling system in that area and box it out, and then teacher will pick up in the setup that we have this type of unit, and then we're going to remove that because we don't need them anymore and build a shelf and put a cabinet so they can put their stuff in. So that would be the first phase of this project. Is going to be all environmental issue and the roof. So we could finish this by this summer. The next phase would start again August 1st, 2012, and that would be concentrating on all the HVAC issues, and the last phase would be connecting all the piping and complete the project. So this project, we think, if we started this March,
started moving on, and we could complete by August 2014. Obviously, this was one option that we had. We went, we paid for it, we designed it, and this is what the board asked us to do, and we did. And so, look at the project. We have the option one, is we have the total scope of work that I went over already. Total project for this would be $19,226,000, and it's a little bit over the $18 million sum that I estimated. They came back. We came back with the energy saving over 20 years. I would be close to $1 million. So we're kind of close to the estimate that we put together. And we won't have no reimbursement for this project. Would be zero. Renovating the entire Cedar Brook, and that would be cost. That would be an option one. So we have option two for you. Construct a new building at the Cedar Brook site with a new future expansion of Elkins Park. So, option two is talking about leave the building the way it is and go behind the building or somewhere in that area, build the building, brand new building, and then build a brand new building and do some of the future work would be some expansion, like level in the ground, put some pipes under. So the total cost for this option is a $42.5 million, and we get some money back, about $1.6 million, energy saving $2.5 million. The project would be about $38.5 million for site work and some beefing up our equipment, such as boilers and chillers for future, and that would be about $2.5 million. The total construction cost is $40.5 million. For option two. So we're building a new building in the same side and have some future. Option three, put the new Cedar Brook and renovate Elkins Park on the existing site. So we will build a brand new building and just renovating the Elkins Park, and this option about $56.7 million. So Elkins Park stays the same. We're just renovating in the same area. Option four would be Cedar Brook and the new Elkins Park at the Cedar Brook site. So we're talking about building in the building. We met over this option with our architect, and it is doable. It is a big, huge building that is about the size of the high school building, about 300-some thousand square foot building. The total construction cost would be $64 million and change. And we will get $2.5 million back, some energy saving of $3 million. Total project, building a big building in the Cedar Brook site would be about $58,600,000. And then we have option five. We build the Elkins Park and Cedar Brook on their existing site. So we don't do anything. We just leave the Cedar Brook, build a brand new building in the field area or the back of the building, and build a brand new Elkins Park. We have to build it in a lower part of it, and then eventually we demolish the whole building. So we have two brand new buildings in their own site. So the total cost for that would be $73 million. So these are the costs. These cost estimates came from Gilbert Architect. So what's happening to the district? The Cheltenham Elementary School construction project, we are going to start in April 2012. We are scheduled to start on April 9th of 2012. That is the schedule. We'd like to complete this project by August 2013. It's a very aggressive schedule. So that means it's a 2-year construction project. 2 years construction project. It's not 3 years. It's 2 years construction project, 1 year was the design. The 2 years, it means the Cheltenham students, they have to be in the mall. Because there was some confusion, I thought I would explain it. But anyway, so 2 years would be the construction project. Winkle Elementary construction, we would like to start out because the Winkle, we are having a problem with the boilers, and we are kind of quiet about that, but we're doing a lot of work there also. So we would like to start that on 2013. And completed March 2015. This is again concept schedule. I don't know. You know, I will bring the Wincode Elementary next month for hiring the architect to the board because we have to move on that project.
But again, this needs to be, we need to do some work in here. Cedarbrook Middle School would like to start in 2015 and complete it by 2017. That's a big building. And when we're talking about, this is construction of it, not the design. Design would take a year to do. Construction, it takes 2 years to complete that Cedarbrook. We have to eventually get rid of the modular. We will do that in 1 year, and that's a lot of work there. We have a lot of what we did, we have to undo. And that's all the curving and everything else to put it back the way it was. And Elkins Park, whatever we're going to do, if we construct it, renovate it, put it together, all that would be this. This is, again, is a question that we didn't know. So we came up with those options, and this came from our administration. The options came from them. We discussed that in our meeting. And the administrator recommended option two, to construct a new building at the Cedarbrook Middle School site with a future expansion for Elkins Park.
Rather quick. Here we go. Yeah, in a very short amount of time. Ms. Coletto, last round of speaker.
Thank you. When I was looking over the option one, the amount of price, the amount of money that would be involved in developing option one, I turned to Ms. Haywood and I said, but that still leaves us with the building, which in and of itself has its own issues. It doesn't address windows. It doesn't address any of the other areas of the building. It just addresses the roof, exterior wall, and HVAC system.
Which 50% of the building is going to be brand new.
50%.
50%.
But that's it. But the other 50%, the other 50% will still continue to be water infiltration and everything else. So for $18 million, you get 50% of a building, and you end up looking at a building that doesn't look like it had any work.
Percentage-wise, would be looks the same because
exactly, and a lot of that is similar to what happened with the high school, where renovations were done, but you can't really tell that there were any renovations done because the bulk of it was done not to the visible eye.
Because our goal was to design to get rid of the problem that we had.
Understood.
So it started with there.
Understood.
And then now,
But in looking at the magnitude of what it is and the price, obviously, the $18,000, I mean, we're talking about $1 million in energy savings, but that's because of a HVAC system, but it doesn't address, and the roof, but it doesn't address windows.
No walls, and it won't address
but
the walls.
But no window changes. Front window, but that's about it, right? No classroom windows would be
No classroom windows. That's why I went over the scope of where I want everyone to understand what we get into when we can.
Right, and so for me, I it's like, at what point when you're looking at your car, do you realize that there's only so much more you can throw into it before you have to break down and get the new car? Yeah, exactly. Well, given that we've come close with this, right? And so then the option is to address either future expansion. If we go with option two, then that precludes us from looking at any work at the Elkins Park site. Correct.
We have to keep that for, say, 4 or 5 years, just keep maintaining it, because eventually, if we build it for future, that someday, the Elkins Park will go to Cedar. Right.
So if we opt for option two, it really is with the mindset that at some point down the line, we would not be utilizing the Elkins Park site.
Yes.
Yes, my first question. Is there any other school district where all the buildings are built on blue cheese? It seems like mold is the prerequisite for having one of those buildings.
It wasn't just mold. You know, if you look at our buildings and the age, and we have Myers, which is built in 1922. Our buildings are 67 years old. The newest building is 50-something years old. This is the newest building we have. It's built in the 70s. So, you know, our buildings are old.
If in an option where either right away or eventually the Elkins Park and Cedarbrook campuses become one, what does happen with the EP site?
Demolish
it and do what? Sell it? Well, because
Sell it, keep it, do whatever we want.
Well, because if we're talking about, you know, 20 years of utility savings as a factor in what the bottom line, the net cost is, a lot faster return on investment is subtracting the amount of money that could be gained from selling, leasing, whatever we would do with the site. As a factor of what the real cost of moving Elkins Park to Cedarbrook and that kind of thing. It has to be part of the equation, you know. Just as the energy savings are somewhat of a guesstimate, and then a real estate changes all the time, but you could still, I think, factor that in. It's just my opinion. What I didn't see in any of these options, well, we know somewhere between now and when these things go through, or these things, if they happen, we will also be doing something with this property. So,
yes.
This building, because this building will crumble faster than the other buildings. And so my question is, in any of those options, did we consider making a part of this educational campus that's now houses Cedarbrook, putting on another floor or doing something to incorporate the administration building, and by doing that also save the money from not only eliminating an Elkins Park school
that
building.
That was part of the master plan that Gilbert put in as an option when we did many master plans that this district, but it's gone. And that was one of them, was to eventually demolish this building and can we build some kind of attachment to the Cedarbrook. And then they went and talked to the state and they came back and said we could do that. Those are all part of this, but these are our focus in here with these two buildings.
No, I understand that, but wouldn't it be more cost efficient if we're going to move two schools to one campus and get the proceeds from the building and the property we're not using to put an attachment or a floor or whatever it would take? Because once you configure for two buildings, I mean, you've got two buildings where there's a parking problem now for each building. So we're going to compound that, and if we're going to compound that, we might as well figure out, because once you put the third building or the third number of people with all the cars and everything like that, you may have to reconfigure the whole property again. It would seem to me logical just to do it all at once, because we know it's going to happen.
Well, the option too is we will talk about that in the future when the site design will start. We will look at all those issues. That's why we got $2.5 million to look at the park and the stormwater management and all the other issues. So,
but there would be
a
big difference.
You could do it now, or you could do it later. That's
right. But the consideration would have to be some acknowledgement, recognition up front that was a realistic alternative, is to take the needs of this building and put it on the same campus and then create
bigger.
Yeah, and have adequate parking and access roads and things where, you know, the delivery trucks are running over the school kids and all those things.
So you're looking at three buildings.
Right. Or two buildings, one of which having an extra floor for the administration. I mean, you can go up just be sometimes better than you can go out.
We're kind of comparing apples and oranges here. I don't think we're seeing all the costs it's going to take to get us from point A to point B with a set of buildings to a set of buildings or a set of classrooms. for a set of offices, just a set of offices that are in one configuration to another. We're sort of looking at pieces of it without seeing all the costs that are there. The option two does not reflect the cost of a UEP school in here, so I don't know what that is and how that compares to the $56 million of option three. I don't know what it is. Please don't guess. We have professionals that guess better than we do. Truly. We need, but there's costs of, you know, once EP gets vacated, you still got to maintain those costs. You've got to do tear down if you're going to sell the property. There's costs involved with all of these things. And from point A, which is we have these buildings in place, to point B, which is these buildings are in place with this configuration, there's a cost from point A to B. We need to see all of that cost before I would understand whether or not option 1, 2, or 10 is the right option. I've maintained steadfastly since coming into the board that we need to do a district-wide facilities plan. We still haven't done that. I still believe there's a very relevant effort that's necessary to do that. And I think we've made good decisions so far, but I think we are on the verge of making some inaccurate decisions, or at least less than informed decisions, because we're talking about modifying a large chunk of what's left to go. And the elementary schools weren't going to move, and so those really needed to get done, and they're fine where they are. I have not had a problem with any of that. Winco's going to stay where it is, and Cheltenham, and all that's going to stay. But we're about to make a major configurational change here with administration and possibly moving other buildings around. I need to see all this stuff. I just don't feel comfortable knowing what I know and how many other costs that can come into play here that we haven't really looked at all of this stuff. What's the traffic situation going to look like over at an EP Cedarbrook location? Is that okay? Parking, you certainly raised. How can we integrate this with other township interests at the same time? And we might want to. How are you going to handle the facilities maintenance aspects of things? And where are we going to store all of that? You know, can we integrate this with other township initiatives? This is the kind of thing that requires some strategic planning at a facilities level that I just don't feel like we've done yet. And I still maintain we need to do in order to fully appreciate all these different options. So I don't think we're in a position to pick right now. I appreciate the urgency. I don't think we're in a position to pick.
I agree with my colleague, Mr. Black. But also, you know, again, given that option two doesn't have any cause, I'm surprised actually that we're not going with option four, which is to build both of them on one site, because, you know, my uneducated guess would say that EP renovation is going to cost at least $18 million. And therefore, option two will be. Either way, I think that if we're looking at $60-something million, I think we ought to take time, figure it out, look at all the facilities, look at all the. And, you know, to be honest, also then bring back in the, well, what do we do with the fifth grade? Because I think, you know, if we're spending $60+ million, we ought to make sure that we have all the students in the buildings that we want them. It's kind of one of the reasons why, you know, to me, I don't like the idea that the registration issues that we have at Glenside brought an entire, you know, large reconfiguration discussion off the table, because, you know, that impacts all of this. It's, you know, where do we put all of our students from kindergarten to eighth grade? And so I agree completely that we need a long-term facilities plan. This is going to have budget ramifications, so I'm assuming that was one of the reasons why we went with option two instead of option four. But I personally think that we ought to figure this out before we move forward with, I would even say, with any considerations with Winco. But we need a facilities plan quickly, and it's going to take some time to build and do it right. So
we have I did put the final version on that. Facility planning and what we have throughout the school district, and that this was advertised, so I couldn't really put it in for tonight. So I will bring it back next month. When I start working here, I go looking for history, and every manager will go find what we have in our hands. And I found a lot of material in my hands that I had. I did present that in March of 2010, with what document we have. How are we going to use this document? We have master plan for the underground utilities. We have a plan for the control system, HVAC control system. We have a plan. These are binders I'm talking about here, right? Like maybe up to 3 feet of the binders for the roofing. So when I saw that, obviously I used that. So when we hired a roofer, I said, these are where the leaks are. This is we have a warranty on these roofs, this is we don't have, so unless we start working. So those documents was done even before I came here. I mean, this board did prove all that, and we did all that, and we have all those documents. Then they went and hired Hayes Large to do the master plan for us, which is they went, and we have a very, very detailed study of every single arch, walls, roof, everything in that it was done. So his large, they went and used some of other people that we have documents. So they look at their document, they improve their document, that's what we do. And then we survey and we move on. So we went after that, board came and said, well, we want a master plan. I said, well, okay, with options. So we went and hired Gilbert Architect. We came out with that, which is another 2 inches of binder, study in detail. We use all the Hayes Lock material, NTH material, control material, senior material. They have 20 different firms that attended the study in this school district. We went look at all that and we put that together. Then we came back and said, well, we don't know, we need this is too much. This is over $140 some million. Dr. Kiefer said that there's no way we can do this, it's too much money. Let's break it down to 5 years plan. So we went there, we studied and we did it in 5 years plan and we put the 5 years plan. We have a lot of plan. If the board wish to have another study be done, I'd be glad to go hire somebody else. But we have all these documents. Now how that, I did share that document with my co-chair. Actually, I pulled all those documents for them and I put them right on that. So this is what we have that we can speak of. Any other, we know what is wrong with our building. This study that they did, that we didn't give you the schedule value because they have backup on all those numbers. When Gilbert gave us the document, if you look at the $145,000, they said there's a detailed backup in back of that. It will tell you exactly how they came up with $145,000. Somebody asks how we get this thing, how can you do it for $5,000? They have backup material. All those the demolition is part of this, soft cost is part of this, and also asbestos removal and PCB and oil tank part of this. So we could come back and bring you backup if you need backup for all those schedule value.
I don't necessarily think that this is an issue of do we have documents that have explanations of what's wrong with the buildings or where the current issues may need to be fixed or even going through some of the options. I think first and foremost this is going to require an awful lot of public discussion. I mean an awful lot of public discussion, and Gilbert can't do that. And this is going to require an awful lot of really pedagogical planning of okay, well, where do we want students and I don't know if those are all in the binders also, but, I think that it's not necessarily a, from a facilities, director or VP or whatever. It's not the role. This is a process of how do we make decisions involving, realistically, $100 million worth of, taxpayer dollars and where do we put and educate our students for the next 15 years. I mean, that's the discussion that we're having. And the idea that we're now talking about option 2 or option 4, which I prefer, or something like that in this board meeting when I think it was October that we, that the board officially kind of acknowledged a 5-year facilities guideline that didn't have option 2 or option 4, just says that we're not really considering all of these options and the gravity of them. As we should, not only as a board, but as a as stewards of public assets, public tax dollars, public buildings.
I might still go back. I mean, I know that we have the 5-year facility plan, and I appreciate all the work that has gone into even distilling that down into a workable document. But I think what I'm hearing, and I would like to echo that as well, is we haven't sat down and really prioritized what's in that five-year facility projection. I think we have maintenance costs that we know are ongoing. We have repair costs that we know are ongoing. We have projected building construction costs that we, you know, we're putting these options on the table to consider. But I think we have to think of this more long-term in terms of what's our vision for our community, what's our vision for our schools, and what do we want to look like in 5 years, and why? I mean, from both a, you know, site perspective, a educational perspective, a efficiency perspective, and I think that, you know, I agree with Mr. Nelson that that will really require additional discussion with the community as well, because that's going to impact, you know, how we configure our schools as well. So I would like for us to take a step back and, you know, really come back again and look at the facilities plan, whatever, however we describe that, as a guidepost to then start prioritizing again what we have in that plan, with the understanding that as we take the time to do that, we're going to have ongoing repairs that we're going to have to make in our schools. But this is beyond kind of preparing what needs to be done. It's really looking at what do we want to do 5 years from now? What do we want to look like 5 years from now?
There's also safety involved, the safety of our student. That's another thing that, I mean, we have, I have this, what part of it I did that. There are 20 different plans here that I have.
But I think that's part of the
plan. I understand that. But they, we have to look at the wing code. We have to look at the wing code. And if we want to go back and study the wing code again, or do we, what are we going to do with wing code?
No, I think, Dr. Bobby, I'm not even
I don't understand what else we, because if we don't, I'm worried about the wing code. It will be another 3-4 more years construction, and we'll push back, and that's why we...
I'm not even asking that. I'm not even talking about that kind of a delay. I think in the context of having a five-year facilities plan, we need to look carefully at that and say, for those things that are compliance issues and safety issues, those get prioritized at a higher level. But when we're talking about building and construction, we then need to think about what do we want this to look like in 5 years. But I think that's why it is important to go back to that plan. Shouldn't take us, you know, 5 weeks to do that. Should take us literally another meeting, I'm thinking, where there's some recommendations in terms of how to prioritize what's already down there. I mean, that's what I think we need to kind of start at as a starting point.
Ms. Russell,
should
we get first? Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you have another
one.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I guess I'd echo what everybody else has been saying. I think that these are to me, it makes more sense to buy the new car than to keep putting money into the old cars of Cedarbrook and EP. And if we're talking about reconfiguration, it makes sense to have a facility that will accommodate that. But all of that requires community discussion, and all of that requires priorities. So I guess I'm echoing what everybody else says, is that not that we hire a new architect to do a new five-year plan, but that we look at the five-year plan and in the five-year outline, projection, five-year...
Whatever it's called.
Guideline. Five-year guideline. There has been new information since even that was presented to the board a few months ago in terms of mold at various schools, in terms of water infiltration, in terms of roofing. And so to look at that again and say our priorities right now are to fix X, Y, and Z, we think that the wind coat boiler is going to last another 3 months or whatever. I mean, whatever the information is that we have. Well, no. Next year,
this year we can.
So I think I would like. I am not opposed to making a decision on a relatively. We have to move forward. We can't dilly-dally. We can't debate these things for 10 years. We have to make decisions. But I don't feel I have the information yet to know what the highest priority items are. And
whatever we do, we just have to make. I mean, I don't want to put pressure on anybody. I just want to tell you that we went over Cheltenham Mall. That's what we have. So how much we can drag this? So this building was designed to be temporarily for 2 years.
2 years.
Now it's 7 years. And then it's going to be another 3 more years. And so whatever, you know, just tell me what you guys want to do. I'd be glad to.
Mr. Lynn, Mr.
Racco.
Okay.
I
agree with what has been said about just not having enough information to really pick which option at this moment in time. But at the same time, I'm looking across at Mrs. Parker, and she's in a building right now with students and staff that has some issues that need to be addressed, and that's why we started this prospect from the beginning and had Gilbert come out. So we have to be mindful of the fact that we do have some areas of concern that need to be addressed while our students and staff are in that building. So this is not something we can just keep putting out. We really need to address it, and we need to address it timely. But I agree, there are areas that I just, to pick an option tonight, I wouldn't have the foggiest idea at this moment in time, because there are a lot of other factors that come into play. And, you know, we haven't discussed what happens to the students. Where do we house them during any type of, you know, project? Where are we moving these students?
They're going to be in their buildings.
Well, but that depends on the option, correct?
No, they're all building new.
We're building on site. That was, but option four is the one where you're replacing and you're building two new buildings side by side.
Option three
is build a new school on the site and demolish the existing building with the new construction. But you're pushing or suggesting option two. The administration is making the recommendation of option two, which doesn't address any of those issues. It just leaves it open.
The building stays, and then we build a new building.
So you have
the existing building that we have, you know, we just would spend close to over $100,000 to get rid of the mold. And then we're not addressing any HVAC problem, we're not addressing any of these problems. So all of that issues that we had, it's going to come back this summer. Because Molly's going to be the winner, and all those issues. I agree with that. I know the last person was to make sure that. I want to just everybody understand that there are all problems out there that it's going to come back.
But you know, let me just jump in here at this point. It sounds like, I mean, based on the comments that are going around the table, that a number of board members are feeling at this point that there's not enough information to make a decision on the recommendations that have been, you know, put before us this evening. Maybe we need to just take a quick straw vote to see if everybody feels that way. But the other piece of that is we still need to do something at Cedarbrook. You know, and I guess in terms of what was proposed, but in terms of renovations, which is $18 million, you know, I mean, which is separate from this other piece, you know, do we want to put $18 million into that building, knowing that we may have, right, so we're going to have to then talk about what we can do, spit and glue kind of thing, you know, to hold it together and make it, you know, habitable for, you know, the staff and the students. So real quickly, I guess we do have business affairs as well. So I mean, unless somebody has something new to say, we're going to ask everybody to just, you know, table their comments. I just want to say one thing.
Administration, you know, was given the direction of moving forward with the renovation of Cedarbrook. That's what we were asked to do. Once that all came back to us, when we looked at it, we did not feel that it was in our best interest to move forward with that. As a result, that is why Dr. Bobby presented tonight, not to make a decision, but basically to say, right now, we have an order to move forward on this $18 million renovation that we do not believe is the right thing for this district to do. You don't need to make it, I mean, we're just saying, like, think about some of these things. We don't need an answer right now, because there will be additional, you know, discussion around it. We have a Cheltenham project going on, and WinCo, regardless, is going to be, you know, we believe, right behind it. And that's taking us 5 years. Any of these other things, other than if you say, continue on the road that you sent us down, we're going to, like, kind of stop. And that's really what part of this was, so that we can talk about some of the other things that you're really, you know, discussing tonight. It was not to say pick, you know, we're thinking this may be, you know, the best, you know, solution for us down the road, The main goal of tonight was to say, you said, get this project done. It's a renovation for $18 million. We do not believe it is in our best interest to do that because the renovation project has just not panned out, and we end up with a number of issues that we don't feel is the right way to go. So that was really the purpose of his presentation.
Mr. Redfield?
I'm a little confused. We know, or at least I assume we know, we're going to finish Cheltenham, and then we have to do something about Wingate. That puts us downstream by the time the kids walk back into Wingate, 4 years, 5 years?
4 years.
Okay. Over those 4 years, from what I'm hearing and from what has been explained,
Three years.
March. We think we could finish this in 14, 16 construction.
Over 3 years. It doesn't really matter. 3 years or 4 years. What I'm about to say is we're going to have to spend a lot of money so that we have a safe environment for our kids and our teachers in Elkins Park and Cedarbrook. A lot of money. I think that's been evident here. So the question in my mind is, in the school of not wanting to throw good money after bad, the decision we have to make is, are we going to wait literally for 3 years, 3.5 years, 4 years, whatever it takes for the kids to get back into Wingate, and then start a project to remediate Elkins Park and Sears, whatever the option we pick are. Because then we're 4 or 5 years out, and we will have spent that much more money. In 5 years, we're going to spend a ton of money in those two schools. And what I said before was, we haven't, at least to my knowledge, really vetted the concept of, if we take the Cedarbrook campus and build one school that would now house two schools, or two buildings that would house two schools, or two buildings that would house two schools and an administration building, or one building that would house all, whatever the configuration would be, which would be give us the most bang for a buck on that site. We've got two properties that are probably very, very saleable. Not necessarily have to be torn down, not demoed. Another school might want Elkins Park.
Let's not have that.
But it is a part of reality.
If
we say it's going to cost us $150,000 to do everything, just picking a number out of the air, and with some even decent guesstimates over the next year or two, we know we could get $6 million for two properties. I don't know what it is. That has to be a part of what the consideration is. Otherwise, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you have.
I think that point was made to them.
Well, but I think it needs to be part of the equation that if we have time to consider, we're going to take the time to consider how much we do and how long it's going to take. Because, again, in 5 years, if we don't start doing one of these options or moving some of the stuff around, we are going to be spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, which we will not recoup, which could have gone into the construction that we know we should have long term.
Mr. Lev, I don't want to throw a monkey wrench into anything, but having heard the governor speak today on the proposed budget, just so we know that this current proposal for the budget supports a moratorium on accepting new school construction project requests. So we have to keep that into mind as we move forward with regard to reimbursements and whether or not we'll actually be entitled to any reimbursements for any new school construction projects.
Just so you know.
That's all
additional.
5%.
Yes, we do.
There it is, in print. So I just need to put that out there that any type of reimbursement might go away.
That's why we need to get it on the books before the budget gets approved.
My slightly new proposal for recommendation is, and I do appreciate, Dr. Davis, you clarifying that the board did ask you to come back with the comparisons between repair versus build on Cedar Brook. I still think it goes back, and I make the recommendation, but I think it's probably timely to do this at this point, is to take that facilities guideline, and if it takes, I'm sure, Dr. Bobby, how long it would take, you know, yourself and Dr. Davis, whoever else, to come back with a prioritized list and say, you know, these are the things that have to be done immediately to keep the schools open, safe for the children and the teachers. These are the things that
I believe I did that. That my 5 years plan
no,
was
it's,
that.
It's a list. It's not
it is a list.
It's
exactly an itemized list. I would bring it back, but
I mean, again, that was shared before I was on the board, and just looking at that list, I remember that it was just a list. And I think
that was his prioritized list. So, I mean, it was a list. But we did that based on each year, what he believed needed to happen.
Can we revisit that again? Because I think that's important in light of all of the development. There might be other things you might want to even add to that.
Well, absolutely. But we have more projects we've got done in the last 3 months.
And I agree with Mr. Rathkow that we don't have the luxury of waiting 5 years to figure out what we're going to do for Cedar Brook. But I do think we need to figure out how to prioritize what we really need to do immediately.
Go
ahead.
If at all possible, I think it would be helpful to see what the possibly the financing of some of these projects might look like, so we know what we're getting into in terms of taxes and all that kind of thing.
We've looked at that within the parameters resolution. What we're proposing to be done within those confines there, which is what we proposed, the board put on the books, we've incorporated into our long-range plan, and again, you know, to echo some of the thoughts with the financing is that we're trying to do this so that it's like phased in, because you can start a project today that's $40 million, you don't get all the bills tomorrow. So there's a phasing with that rather than being hit in 1 year with $40 million, it's phased in. The other component is relative to just general timing, having multiple projects, you know, going at the same time gets, cumbersome from a implementation standpoint.
Mr. Buck?
Thank you.
Just by way of follow-up, some of the information that I would want to know would be, what's the structural condition of Cedar Brook and the foundations, the subterranean conditions of the piping and the plumbing surfaces and other things that are there, to know whether that building can, in fact, be renovated. Tear it back to the walls if you have to, take the roof off, whatever you have to do, go all the way back. You're still going to save in terms of doing that if the underground and the structure are suitable for that. You don't have to go build new walls again. You can add on, you can do these things. And I would have never done Myers. That was way past the point of modern construction, at least what we know of today. Cedar Brook is only 25 years old. That is not old.
More than that, Jim.
42.
Yeah.
Well, it's not as old as Meyer.
And I've been on the architectural tours, and there's major cracks in the foundation.
Okay. Well, and so.
Buildings built in 20
years
built better than
We need to have. I accept the opinion, but I still think we need to understand the architectural condition.
So we have that.
We have that.
Okay. All right. That's right. The age issue we talked about. I'm interested again in. I mean, we did ask and I do appreciate that we did ask for looking at this and looking at what Cedar Brook was going to have to be renovated. And I presume that was to maintain its habitability for some period of time. The question is, if we only wanted to go another 2 years or 3 years on habitability at Cedar Brook, can that change the amount of money that you spend to get us through the next? Because I don't think it's going to take us 5 years to make this decision. I think you could make it a lot shorter than that. But, right, I mean, your question was about, oh, we have to wait 5 years before we actually decide whether or not we could wait, a month or two and probably get all this done. But it's not clear to me what it would actually cost to keep Cedar Brook habitable for the period of time that we actually need it to be if we were to opt to do something further. I mean, I don't know if they're not going to for ourselves in the process. And then lastly, because this is such a monumental and complex and lots of information, I would recommend that the board consider holding some kind of a dedicated retreat, meeting, whatever, where we can spend a good chunk of time understanding what Dr. Bobby has collected, the work that's going. It's just a lot of material. All of us have day jobs. We do this once a month at best, you know, and I just think that the board needs more time to appreciate the work that's going on. I know that I grow, you know, weak and things, and memories fade about what you've said. I mean, you're only doing this on a month-to-month basis. I really recommend, at least to the board, that we consider some kind of an extended period of time where we can dig it all out and go back through it. With us all there, we can really appreciate what's going on. I think that would be very helpful.
What I was going to point out is that in the challenge we have with renovating a middle school is where to put the students. Given the size of the Cedarbrook site, by building a new building, you allow them to continue in their own school until the new building's finished, which solves that problem.
But all that phasing has to be looked at in multiple stages, and I think it really takes more than an hour of time looking at it. Even if we were to have multiple monthly meetings, we would never get there because you're constantly reiterating things.
I agree, Mr. Butler. As usual, we need more information. I think as both the board as well as, you know, I think it's incumbent upon us to know what the public has said, you know, where they weighed in. I recommend, and some of this is selfishly from a business affairs standpoint, that we have agreed to publicly supported, or at least informed, if you will, 5-year or longer facilities plan. I guess I don't want to say 5 years because it has to be one that covers all the facilities that is financeable, and we should have it for the next year's budget cycle. We're not going to have it this year, but that almost effectively says take 10 months, go through the process of having a board retreat, go through the process of having public meetings, go through the process of, you know, having a day or two dedicated where we get to sit in the north of the buildings and meet with engineers, whatever in the world needs to happen to say, by next year's budget cycle, we know which buildings we're working on, we know whether or not we're spending money on roofing, whether or not we're spending money on windows, or whether we build a new business building, we want to front load the building because of tax cuts, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think we have enough information, so as it's been said many times, but yet we need a 5-year plan. We need a facilities plan that covers $80 million worth of spending.
You're not saying that.
There's like one missing component this evening that it dawned on me that throughout the course of this discussion is that the architect's not here, and the architect's the one who assisted in coming up with the options, right?
And we some of them, the architect and some of them, we did the architect for that. The reason I didn't ask the architect to come in, because they are interested in the job, and they will push for it. They can, you know, they're here to do the work and make some money, basically. I didn't want that. They asked our chair committee, said, should we bring in? We did talk about it, and I told them about my feelings. I said, not at this point. This is just, we're going to talk about it. We have a lot of issues. We have entire school discussion. You know, we could talk about it. And Jim asked for a lot of detail.
But I think some of those could have been responded to by...
No, I can respond to any of questions you have concerning any of these projects. If you want to back up on the process, then we could. This meeting is this presentation on the facility. I didn't think I needed all that.
It was my understanding, though, these numbers, the numbers for these recommendations were put together by the architect.
Yeah. There are. The first one it was by me, and the rest of them we worked together.
Okay, so
I'm very familiar with those numbers and backup. And you would. But if the board wish to bring, and I have no problem to bring architects.
Okay, I know that when we've had other discussions about different various options throughout the course of any building, we've had someone outside of us talking to
management. No problem bringing back.
Answering some of the questions, right, as part of the bigger picture of the questions we have. Site design, all those things, that they have all the facets of the question.
Really
do. They know our property.
We certainly need to have another meeting. Now, I don't know, is that in terms of getting the details and flushing everything out? I don't know, can we do that in a retreat?
If
I could offer this, the purpose of the retreat would be to develop what I call a set of comprehensive options, meaning that they cover a lot of the issues, including financing, including pedagogical issues, if there are, at least as options. We would come out of the retreat with a set of options that had been considered informationally in terms of developing the data,
and then
you can present it to everyone. Because it would almost certainly require that the administration fill out some of that. But you would know, I need to see this. We don't call this an option. Like, I don't call some of these options because they don't have all the pieces in them yet. We would have all of the options laid out in more detail so that we literally can sit down and say, okay, this, compare that, allow the public full visibility to all the different options. We deliberate and discuss all of
that. That sounds like deliberation. That we have to be
very
careful.
No, it's just collecting data. Let's make sure that all the board's questions are answered.
Talking about the data.
Semantics. We have to be very careful and clear that.
Well, I'm not trying to violate anything. That wasn't my intent.
Because I don't want to withhold information from the public that needs to be put out there in the public so that,
Well, then the alternative is that I start giving you a long list of stuff that we're going to sit here and go through and everything.
No, you are one board member.
I understand that, but I'm still going to be very loud about it. Because there's a long list of things that have to be considered here, and I don't think that we would recommend, and I would encourage the public to be very anxious about not seeing a long list of things that would require that the board be evaluating when we make some monumental $100 million decisions. There's a lot of stuff in that has to be considered. I wouldn't want to recommend any. I would be doing my job if I would, guess on an option without seeing a fair number of amount of information on this thing.
That's why I want the
professionals,
independent. No offense, Dr. Right. Bobby, but we do have a team of people who have worked on our properties that do have an understanding and have professional credentials to move forward on what it really looks like from start to finish.
I guess I'm going to just ask a question of the board members. What are we asking for next steps? I think that's important to lead this meeting with next steps, not general injunction. So what I'm proposing, what I hear other people saying is we feel like we need more information. As a next step, are we asking Dr. Bobby and Dr. Davis to come back with a prioritization of facilities guidelines and then all the options that are currently on the table in terms of cost benefit? What are we asking Dr. Bobby about to do?
Well, I would go back to my point earlier, which is we're going to go from point A to point B.
What is that to?
The configuration of buildings and classrooms that we have today and office spaces and everything, including to the configuration of office spaces and administrative and facilities that we have at some point in the future when everything has changed to the point that we want it to look like.
So in terms of what we have today and some proposals for what it could look like,
there are different routes to get to point B, and there may be different point Bs.
Different
options. We need to say that actually as a document, because that's like the 2-inch binders. That's what Savoy's asking. So that's right. So everybody can study what we did from HR's document and then we could have that as a base, and then we're going to go to that. If we want to know exactly how much a study was done, and we have to have some kind of base so we can move up to the next house. And those are our base. It is a cost estimate of 5-year plan. We have a Gilbert and we have a HR. Those are the three major studies that we did. The rest of this study, the R17 that they did, was a component of all those other studies. So if they want, I would be glad to copy all that and send the board member for review and read, and then we could go to the
next. Okay, I think that's more of a separation. That is an initial step that we prioritize. We ask Dr. Bobby. Bobby and Dr. Davis to kind of dust off the five-year facility guideline. And given the additional information that we currently know in terms of the current state of some of our buildings, to ask if you could then reprioritize or prioritize again those aspects of the five-year facility guideline that could be brought back to the board with cost estimates for each of those and time frames so that we have at least a little more information in front of us to work from before we start considering various options. That's what I'm proposing.
I don't know, Jim, you're interested in, you know, down to the detail. I don't know that most of us are probably interested in that detail. I mean, I see it as more as there may be some options were presented to us. There may be some additional options that we were interested in seeing, like you mentioned, about something where the administration building is housed, or, you know, the township is also housed in you know, in the configuration as proposed. I mean, maybe what we need to do... No, I'm not referring to that as detail. I'm talking about those are just kind of like proposals. But what I'm saying is maybe those be presented to administration to give us some pricing on. I mean, if you want all the details behind those, you know, how they were all put together, and, you know, for those who want that, that's good. But, I mean, the rest of us who don't want all those, I mean, I think we do need to certainly talk with the architects and get some of the detail, but I don't want to go down to, you know, those binders that Dr. Bobby was referring to. I don't want that kind of detail. But maybe so there's some other configurations that we would, you know, need to see. So when we sit down with them, we have everything all laid out that we've asked them to provide. Then we can have a conversation about each of those proposals. And then, again, whether we do that in a retreat, whether we can do that in a retreat, or whether it has to be a public meeting, I'm not really sure.
We didn't hire any architect to do that kind of work. We have to go out there and ask for the proposal, and that proposal has to come back to the board for approval.
The proposals you presented, Gilbert put those together.
These are just the options, ideas, discussions. If you want to, some architect, you want to get paid. That's $120 an hour.
But I mean, there's some backup, some documentation behind that.
Correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's something behind that, so right, as well as going forward.
I think the administration has heard what we're looking for. I believe they got it. I'm not so sure that I would phrase it in terms of a five-year plan. Five-year plan to me is an artificial, you know, it could be a four-year plan, it could be a six-year plan. I think the guiding factors are for the administration, with their knowledge and where they've gone with it, to tell us what the needs are, what the most efficient way to get there is in terms of space utilization, and certainly the health of the students, and most importantly, as it pulls out over the years, whatever those years are, 5 years, 3 years, 6 years, what the costs are going to be. Because those are the decisions that we're actually going to be making, or we're actually going to be voting on. I agree with this, Jim, there's an infinite amount of detail in terms of like construction and planning, but that's a whole different discussion. I think once the needs are identified, we know we have to do A, B, C, D, E, and F, G. Tell us what, from your opinion, educationally, health-wise, expected longevity, cost of not doing it in the first year or second year, that kind of thing is most important. And then once we have that established, what the options will be, two buildings here, three buildings there, whatever it's going to be, what the cost factors are over the years so we know that it's feasible. Because we could decide, oh, this looks good, this sounds swell, this might be a great space utilization, but we can't afford it. And things are going to get less affordable. I'm afraid that more affordable. So I think that's really key in trying to come up with what Mr. Bubba was talking about, and that is something that can actually happen and when it can happen and how fast it can happen.
Okay, last comment, Ms. Rowe.
I'm not sure that the architect would need to be here for that meeting, quite frankly. It seems to me that this is a high-level prioritize that the administration's priorities are what is important, and I think it can give a general enough estimate of the cost based on information you've already got. So I would vote to hold off on paying the architect until we are at the next step of wanting finer details.
The only question I have, I know that's, is when does public
specific of public forum get factored into? Do we do that before we make any vote? I can't imagine making a legislative vote on it.
Oh, no, no, we can't make a legislative
vote. There's got to be plenty of public comment that baked into that schedule, which then gets to hearers.
I guess at this point, are you, based on what we've said so far, have a sense of what everyone is looking for?
Yeah, and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay, and we will be able to, we'll come back at what point. So when, I guess when we'll be able
we need to
how we're
going to
do
it.
Okay. I guess that was the last item, right? Correct? Oh, well, excuse me. Public comment.
Yeah.
Did any public comment? Sorry.
I'll be brief. David Cut Offens Park. I do want to reiterate what was alluded to about the Sunshine Act, and if you will be there in a working session of any sort, in my mind, you won't be effectively deliberating, so that should be an open meeting. Also, my assumption is if it is a long working session, not a lot of people show up anyway, frankly. So I just encourage you to be cognizant of those 2 points. Also, I encourage you to try to look at having an outside facilitator to actually advance and run the meeting and to help take notes and minutes and move it along in somewhat of an open setting. Not that the administration is not capable, but an outside facilitator for this type of process to help guide you along the way and reach certain decision points can be advantageous. Thank you.
Before you adjourn, I need some clarification as to the item that we were discussing earlier. Are we, so was there an action item for moving forward, or you're just moving forward with the work that needs to be done?
$5,000
We were
going to move on.
So you don't need any
cooperation?
Thank you. This recording is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons license title. Creative Commons Attribution No Derives 3.0 United States License. This recording is copyright 2012 by KD3HW. Thank you for downloading us, and have a great day.